The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Go May 6th. It's Friday as we go into that Mother's Day weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the lovely ladies out there who are mothers and getting it done. Damian Anderson, our host.
Dave, your wife or your mother is not listening to the show. You don't have to kiss. Why are you trying to get points, man?
I love the ladies. I have to treat them right.
Welcome to Planet Gridiron Sports on the Voice America Sports Network. And as always, we like to hit the ground running. And we have Phoenix's own from Fox 10 Phoenix, one Jude LaCava, here to break down the Arizona Cardinals for his draft picks. Jude, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. You know, there's still a lot of talk from last weekend, and had a chance to talk to Beanie Wells this week. So there's a lot of interesting reaction to what happened last weekend.
Jude, you brought up a key name in Beanie Wells, in that there's a lot of hype surrounding him when he joined this Arizona Cardinals football team. A great running back at the University of Ohio State, or Ohio State University, however you want to put that. Made a lot of things happen. However, that transition into the National Football League hasn't been seen so great. And the Arizona Cardinals just drafted this...
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams from Virginia Tech. So tell me about how that sit-down went, Jude, and what's your thoughts?
Well, you know, Beanie is still very confident, and I think he feels that if you look back to his first year, I mean, he made the all-rookie team. He rushed for almost 800 yards. He averaged 4.5 yards a carry, and he was healthy. And he'll tell you, and his biggest thing, not to use an excuse, he just wasn't healthy after that knee injury suffered in that Washington preseason game, and he never really found his traction for last season. He was surprised by the draft pick of Ryan Williams. He told me that he was at the facility that day and nobody really said much. And then when he left about 10, 15 minutes later, the second round started and he found out that they drafted Ryan Williams. He had heard nothing to that effect when he was in the facility when they lifted the lockout that particular Friday. So I think he's surprised but yet confident. And he understands Wiz's philosophy, competition by position. And, you know, if you look at it, if they do expand to 18 games, and if you look at the rigors of the NFL, do you need depth at running back? And, of course, the obvious answer is yes. I mean, Williams, though, is an intriguing talent. You've got more of kind of a specialist in Tim Hightower. So who's going to be your lead back? And Beanie believes he will be that lead back. At least that's what he expressed to us.
Well, you'd be shocking if he didn't say something like that. But like many of us who were looking at the draft, I thought it was interesting. And I think it spoke to what the staff thought about the production and what it needed to move into, again, the elite level that it once was at.
You're exactly right. And I think production includes Beanie picking up blitz protection and wanting to aggressively add that to his game. I mean, we know when he's healthy, he's a dynamic runner. He's a home run hitter. He can do some things that very few backs can do in the NFL. He did prove that in his first year at times. So I think it's developing his complete game, being able to be a reliable force when it comes to protecting the quarterback with blitz protection and being a guy that can hold up over the rigors of the schedule. So, I think it's just a way of sending Beanie a message saying, look, we know you can do it, but now we need you to do it.
And Jude, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this year's philosophy was more based on best available player rather than in the past where they got guys strictly on need. I mean, more so Denny Green's era when you saw Larry Fitzgerald there sitting at number three. Hey, we're going to get the best player available. And we saw that. You can't pass up a guy like Patrick Peterson. But at the same time, as we mentioned, the Ryan Williams second-round pick, how was this philosophy? I know that you talked to Coach Wisenhunt. What was the philosophy of this year's draft?
I think it was, we cannot pass on a guy that could be a perennial Pro Bowl player in Patrick Peterson because that's just going to make our defense better. And then when you fall to the middle rounds of the NFL draft, a guy like a Sam Macho and a Quan Sturdivant, you see guys that can help you in whether they're role players or whether they're guys that phase into the system backing up some of the veterans. So I think he said, let me get playmakers. Let me look at need. And I think for the most part, he addressed that. I know a lot of people were surprised. Running back, second round, wait a minute. You know, you got Beanie, you got Hightower, you got Lerod. But you know what? In this league, look at what Miami did. Look at some of the other teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you really want, and quite frankly, Damon, you know this, man, your shelf life in the NFL is limited for a lot of running backs, 3, 4, 5 years. So I think in the big picture, you can understand it. And I think for Beanie, it's kind of a moment of truth year going into this season.
And, Jude, you talked about some key points. You mentioned need. I mean, I think that there's some glaring holes that you and I always addressed on the show on Fox 10 Sports Night, on Fox 10 Phoenix. But, I mean, one thing that you always talked about, the ability to rush the passer. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think that Patrick Peterson is a hell of an athlete. But can he
cover for 8 seconds?
Exactly. You know, and can he throw the ball to Larry Fitzgerald? You know, we needed a quarterback as well.
Well, that is so true. I mean, you know, you and I talked about last season. When's that pressure coming off the edge in that 3-4? And I, in all due respect, I mean, I think, you know, what's going to happen with Joey Porter and Clark Hagans? I mean, I know Clark still believes he can contribute. And, you know, pressure on the quarterback is everything. We did not see that to any degree for the most part last season. So that's going to be an issue to watch. I also think the offensive line, I'd like to see more competition by position by the offensive line. I mean, I don't know if Levi Brown really is a true left tackle. I'd rather see him move back to right tackle, and I would have liked to have seen this organization look at a really talented young left tackle that could step in maybe with a second-round pick. And then you got to look at the pressure that goes with they have to sign a veteran free agent quarterback, and they have to do it whenever this collective bargaining agreement is done. They have to have a veteran in there because I don't think Larry Fitzgerald was going to say, okay, you want to draft an Andy Dalton, you want to draft a Blaine Gabbert, and then I got to wait a couple more years in the prime of my career. That was not going to fly with Larry Fitzgerald, who's going to be a free agent after this season.
Go ahead, Dave.
Jude, I couldn't agree with you more with the quarterback position. I didn't see them going with a rookie because what you're going to do with a rookie is to protect him. You're going to start all over and then you're going to protect him. As good a season as Sam Bradford had, he still was protected by the schemes that they ran, which was primarily running the ball with Steven Jackson and giving perhaps two-man route only a couple of reads. And I expect, in fact, Bradford to step back a little bit as they expand the offense because that's just part of the growing pains. It doesn't mean he's playing worse. It's just that they're going to be growing the offense through them. And with Larry Fitzgerald being here and a veteran, he just doesn't have time. He's in the prime now.
That's exactly right. And to believe me, that plays a big role into the organization's philosophy of signing a free agent. I mean, they don't have that luxury. I mean, can John Skelton develop in a few years? Let's see. But more importantly, with Larry becoming a free agent after the season, you have to have instant offense, instant experience, and that is absolutely, to me, was their primary offseason issue.
So, Jude, I mean, there were some surprises. I mean, Julio Jones, I mean, basically the Atlanta Falcons garnering or trading the whole draft, you know, in order to get him at number 6, as well as the guy, the quarterback from Washington State going number 8 to the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, Locker.
Jake Locker going. So what do you think their decision-making process went to that decision, Jude?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's very few guys, you know, that step in like Matt Ryan that come from a pro set offense at Boston College. So now you look at what is essential when you want to win in the playoffs. And Atlanta's been a pretty good team the last 3 years. But you have to balance that field with Roddy White, and now you put Jones on this other side. And, man, you have got a lot of issues for opposing defenses and a pretty darn good running game and an experienced offensive line. So, across the board, I think when you think you're that close and you're closing in on playoff appearances, but now you want to make a run at a Super Bowl, you make that kind of aggressive move, and now you ask defenses with Roddy White and Jones, and you say, okay, now what are you guys going to do? And you've got a tight end that can still get down the field. So for the most part, I understood it. I like that kind of aggressiveness. I like what Detroit did. I think, you know, that was an interesting draft, to say the least. So for the most part, you know, it's about what your individual plan is for your franchise. I think Ken Whisenhunt made a statement saying, look, I think we can pull off an improvement with our outside linebackers with Sturdivant and Acho. That remains to be seen. You know, we have to translate their game to the NFL game. And I think the other interesting thing, I hear that DeMarco Sampson's got a lot of talent, a lot of speed. He's an interesting project with that 7th-round pick. But I'm really curious to see what Ryan Williams brings to the table. He had a brilliant freshman season at Virginia Tech. His numbers were staggering. And then he, his second year at Bot Tech, he was kind of running back by committee. But, you know, I really believe Ken Wisden threw down the sword to Beanie and said, guys, may the best man win.
And Jude, talk about the linebackers that they have on this team. I mean, we had O'Brien Schofield. He had a knee injury majority of the season, came back, and he had some turnovers on defense, had a couple sacks. How much, I guess, confidence did it show Ken Wisenhunt had in this young linebacking core, or is he going to make some acquisitions via free agency?
I think there's a possibility of free agency, but you know, you like Schofield from day one, and not just because he was a Big Ten guy, but an extremely talented, athletic, intelligent player. And if you look at Darrell Washington, who really showed signs this year with his great speed, it's interesting. Now, if Acho can be part of the rotation, maybe you can get away with one veteran as opposed to two with either Clark or Joey to transition a rotation of about four or five linebackers, six maybe, to be effective with your pass rush. So I kind of like that philosophy. But again, until you see these guys on the field, you just don't know the speed of the game. I mean, we've seen, you know, Cody Brown, unfortunately, was injured, but he never really quite worked out. You know, there's been guys that have not worked out at that position. But I love the intelligence of Acho. I mean, this kid comes in with almost like a Rhodes Scholar-level IQ. He's effective in a great program. He's won a national championship at Texas. So he's a really interesting talent and a nice pick in that middle round area. And Sturtevant, he's had issues off the field, but if you look at his numbers, sophomore and junior year at Carolina, I mean, the kid was a stud.
Yeah.
So there's some hope there. My concern is trying to go after a free agent offensive lineman. Maybe, you know, how about a Damian Woody or somebody that can add some experience, either a tackle or a guard, because I still think that's an issue they need to improve on.
Absolutely. As always, Jude, it's a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show. I know that you got a tight schedule today, buddy.
I always enjoy talking with you guys. And Beanie Wells talks about his career coming up Sunday night.
Definitely check Jude out on Fox 10 Phoenix. Jude LaCava sits down with Beanie Wells. So, Dave, I mean, overall, your synopsis of the draft, the Cardinals draft, what did you think day one, two, and three?
You already said it. They did it based on best available athlete. They did not necessarily follow the pattern of based upon knee. Mm-hmm. Because clearly, if you
Is that a winning strategy?
It can be, and I think we've seen it. It remains to be seen.
Use a big word here. Was it advantageous for the Arizona Cardinals?
You know, only time will tell, because you don't know. You know, giving grades at this point or juncture is impossible, because we don't know what these people are going to do. On paper, it looks like a pretty good draft. It was a smart draft. Mm-hmm. And with the decision in and of itself of Patrick Peterson, you're going to start out at a B-minus right there.
Right. And let me ask you this, Dave. I mean, you talked about, I mean, you grew up in Hot Atlanta, so you've seen a lot of Deion play. And, I mean, there's a lot of comparisons. I mean, I don't necessarily know that PP or P squared has that Deion speed. I mean, you know what I mean?
And just he's fast, but he's not Deion fast.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and we saw the impact that Deion had on the Atlanta Falcons.
Sure.
And I'm not sure, but I don't think that they made the playoffs while he was playing for them.
He did. They did make the playoffs.
Okay,
yes.
They did
yes.
make the playoffs. But his impact, I mean, he was the sum of all the parts. He was pretty much the entire team.
Sure.
Will Patrick Peterson have that type of impact for the Arizona Cardinals?
He could. And the reason being is, one, he is a dynamic punt returner. We know that. So special teams.
Dynamic,
so,
Dave?
He's dynamic. I think he's because he's in the top three, if not led the nation in yardage per return.
Okay.
So
I thought it was kickoff, but I wasn't sure punt return.
It's punt returns.
Okay.
And he also, you just said both to that as well, he is a dynamic kickoff returner. We don't need him to do that, though. We have LaRon Stevens-Holland to do that.
But he could take punt returns.
Yeah, give him the punt returns.
Yeah.
And I think he can develop into, rare is the corner that comes in and becomes a shutdown corner.
Okay.
It depends on what we want him to do. Do we want him to play man? He is made. He's born to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're going to say play zone, that's something different. If you ever watch him off of the ball, off man, coverage, okay, mm-hmm. zone.
Right, cover two.
Cover two.
Cover three, yeah.
He struggles within the realm of struggling for him.
Okay.
He's not as fluid, if you will, in playing off in the zone situations as he opposed to man, because he was asked to play man.
Right.
Frankly, I think if you can play man, you can learn to play zone.
Okay.
But I don't know if you necessarily can go the other way around, comfortable in zone and being able to play man.
Absolutely.
So I just think that he was.
Because he plays zone, you're relying on all the
You're relying on everybody else, right?
Everybody else.
Yeah, you know.
Man, it's mono.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's me. I'm a line up against you.
Right.
And just like any other corner, he's going to have his battles and struggles with very good wide receivers.
And I'm not going to say the big guys. I'm going to say the quick in and out, get out your breaks like a Steve Smith.
Julio Jones gave him hell. Look at that game.
Right.
Okay. So, but there again, where did Julio Jones get drafted?
Absolutely.
There's a reason why he took the top 10 also.
So that
doesn't speak to him. Everybody's going to struggle with those kind of players. Yeah. Okay. But he also made plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just a good pick because he's ready made. You can put him in now. And I think you can see the impact now. So I really love the pick. Ryan Williams is interesting to me.
That's an intriguing pick.
It is. I liked him. He is the all-time leading rusher ACC history for a freshman. He set the freshman record. Did extremely well. He had a hamstring injury.
Mm-hmm.
And also they had Darren Evans coming off the knee injury, who was the previous ACC rusher of the year, right? So they had to obviously balance that out.
He had a hamstring, as you mentioned.
Right. So, I mean, I don't really look at those numbers because he wasn't necessarily healthy, but he's a good football player, and he's a lot faster in a game than he is when you time him on a watch.
There it is. Coming back after the break, we got to appreciate that first segment by Jude LaCava, Dave Lockhart, Damon Anderson. We're going to talk about MVP and breaking out the broom. We'll explain after the break. Planet Ground Radio on the Voice of America Sports Network.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
And we're back from paying those bills. Planet Gridiron with your host, Damian Anderson.
They appreciate that intro, but we got to break it down to NBA playoffs. Eastern Western Conference semifinals. And only reason, you know, we normally don't talk basketball, but we do. We talk all things sports, but always football. We got to talk about D-Rose, MVP, from the crib, 22 years old, youngest to ever do it.
Oh, he's from Wilmington?
No. He's from the crib, Chicago, made it happen, proud of him. Do you think he's deserving?
Yes. Yes. I mean, every year you can make the argument for Kobe. Every year you can make the argument. I don't think many
Led his team to 62-20.
I don't think anybody would debate, if you strip it all down, the award and all that, LeBron James is the best player still in the league, okay?
And he's showing it right now.
Right now, with the you-know-what on your tonsils. Yes, he is, okay?
Like that spin move, double pump, slam dunk he did on, Rojo or Rajao?
All I know is he get it from his mama. Okay, because you can't teach that. It whatever happened
grown
between
man.
Mama and daddy,
grown
you
man.
Got LeBron James.
Right.
Exactly. So, Derrick Rose is very deserving of the
I love his game.
MVP. He is.
Very instinctual, super athlete.
Dynamic player.
Very, very dynamic.
And he can take over a game. He can carry a team.
Okay.
And he did that because, remember, he's the only All-Star on that team. And
True.
They still won 62 games.
And I would like Boozer to step it up a little bit more. And
you
become,
won't see it. Boozer is Boozer. That's what he is.
So did he get paid?
He did.
Is that what happened?
He backed up the truck. You heard the beep, beep, beep.
But when he was playing for the Jazz,
but
he was an All-Star.
That's what he is, though. He is what he is. I'm not telling you he's a very good player. He's not an elite player. And that's the kind of salary he got. He got a salary of an elite player.
Okay. So,
and then that's done all the time. You overpay.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you never know what can happen. I mean, it's a transit. Maybe it's a transition period for him getting acclimated. Do the Bulls go out and get Dwight Howard, unrestricted free agent?
That would be nice, but you know what? That would be nice to almost anybody. Right. I mean, like, so does he get Dwight Howard? Right. Ooh, you know, what if the Lakers get
him? But no, that makes them a electric.
They're probably a top three team now.
Everywhere we want to use. But they were the number one coming in, but we saw what happened to the number one San Antonio Spurs.
Yes, they got treated like a
a drop kick.
Exactly. They got booted. Well, you know what? Memphis has shot everybody, okay, because they're a lot better. Everybody's like, well, they're so young. Not really. They have an infusion
of...
They have a couple components. And I remember seeing Zach Randall. I remember the first time I saw him.
He's a baller.
I saw him in the McDonald's All-American game.
Yes, sir.
And I was like, who is this guy?
He can play.
Soft hands, long arms. You know, very physical.
Yeah.
Very good feet.
Reminds me of a college player, Schlesinger. Is it Schlesinger for Ohio State
Jared Sullinger.
Jared Sullinger. There we go, for Ohio State now.
Yeah.
Very physical, has a lot of finesse to his game, but he understands it. I don't know how you explain it. He has a finesse about him to maneuver
a finesse
about the
thug game. That's the best infusion.
There you go.
They had a finesse thug.
If you could say that, that's what it is.
Exactly, because he's a bully around the rim, but he has this nice soft touch and handling of the ball. And he always has those, you know, those quick and nimble feet, and it's so shocking that you see a guy that big and that long that's so agile and nimble.
And he's consistent. That's one thing he's consistent. He's when we first
missed
saw
double
him,
double.
When we first saw him, when he was very young, made some off the court
Pistons, right?
No, I think it was the Blazers.
Who drafted him?
Wasn't the Blazers?
He got traded there
because
I don't think he was there.
But when we saw him with the Portland, he was just very consistent, but he was just off the court stuff was an issue for him. You know, it was a huge issue, but now it seems to be that's resolved. He's grown up a little bit and understands that basketball is a priority.
Could have been that 70-plus million extension he signed, too, for 4 years.
Potentially.
That could get me right.
Yeah, right. If I don't know how, I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah, you know, he's maturing. I agree with you. But I think this year.
But they don't have any all-stars. They have a whole bunch of role players, but I think it's the confidence factor that this team has. They have a lot of talent. I mean, I wouldn't even say talent, but they have a lot of confidence, and they have a lot of people believing in it. When the game showed that there's a short margin of error for both teams, that's when they make it happen.
And they're mature. They're a mature team too.
Yeah, because you got Battier. We think that guys are young still. They're 25.
They've been playing for seven, 8 years.
Yeah.
So they're not necessarily as
Battier's
young.
30. He's been playing for 10 years.
Right, and he went 4 years of college. Okay, right now, and then you have Tony Allen,
right.
And then you have Gasol, who will play. You know, when you're overseas, that's pro ball anyway.
Right.
And so they've been
right
playing
now.
Pro ball for a long period of time. So they have a nice infusion of young talent and mature role players.
Okay.
And I think that coming together, and you know what? They're better than we thought they were.
Yeah.
And so when you combine all of that, then you get the performance that you get from them.
Okay, so let's one step further. Dallas Mavericks. Talking about this broom, is it going to be broke out against the Lakers?
No. They're not going to sweep the Lakers. I don't see that.
Can Kobe win? Can they?
I see the Mavericks winning.
Is there urgency?
Oh, it's urgency.
But I mean, statistically, the Lakers are shooting just as high. I mean, they're up there in every statistical category, almost leading.
Can't make threes. That's the problem. They can't make threes.
That's the first thing that I thought of. And I mean, what does Kobe need to do? I mean, he can't do everything.
Well, dang, he can't shoot for everybody else.
I'm thinking, slow down the game, give it to Gasol, give it to the big man, Odom.
You're saying let their length and their size take over.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, why push it? You don't have to. Slow down the game. I mean, but the thing about it, you get two, they get three. That's the problem.
Right.
That 3-point.
Well, you have to bank on this. Are they going to shoot that the entire series? Because see, that's what happened.
It's worked so far.
Well, we're right. But you know what?
I mean, they got two in L.A.
Sure.
You know how hard that is?
It's very difficult to play on the road. And they're an experienced team,
in
too.
In the semis. I mean, they had Jason Kidd, Sean Marion. Yeah, not Dwight Howard, but Tyson Chandler. He looks like a grown man out there right now.
Finally.
Jason Terry from the Cats.
Yep, the Cats.
Doing out there.
But look, think of it this way. I'm going to make an analogy, and I know it's really apples and oranges when you think about college and pro. Butler, for the first, six games, they were knocking down threes. What happened in the championship?
It happens. But that's just one game, Dave. You're hot. But, I mean, you have a seven-game series.
And that happened to VCU, too.
Yeah.
Teams that live by the three, a la number one.
Die by the three.
Number one this year.
Take a big risk.
San Antonio led the league in threes. And I just, teams that live by the three, I don't care if it's college or if it's pro, they tend to have problems.
Okay, well, back in the East, we have several teams that necessarily don't live by three. When the Celtics.
What the heck is going on with Atlanta?
They bought him.
They were like go to 6-game losing streak.
Joe Johnson.
In my hometown.
Joe Johnson.
Although I was born in Savannah.
You claim it.
I'm claiming Savannah, baby. But I'm going to tell you this.
I'm going to call him Clay. His mama called him Clay.
Atlanta, man. Right. Josh Smith and
Joe Johnson.
You know, in the modern day version of the microwave, Joe Crawford. He come off the bench shooting.
Bro, but 25 points? Who does that? Who averages 25 points
off the bench?
Off the bench.
Joe Crawford.
I'm just going to say, why isn't he starting?
Because for whatever reason, his contribution is better within the framework of coming off the bench. Now, I don't know why that
you
is.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't know why. But who the heck scores 25 points off the bench?
Every
averaging?
Time. Yeah, who does that? Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford does. Did somebody call?
You need this three? Oh, there it is. Oh, you need this two? Oh, 25, there it is. Let's get this dub. Let's go home.
Instant microwave, dude.
So can the Bulls respond? Can they win the series?
Bulls, yeah. They can win it, but it's not going to be easy.
Okay. But I think that definitely Derrick Rose needs a lot of help. I mean, he needs some perimeter shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do it all by himself. I think that's very
evident. And that's the problem.
He needs another double-double from Carlos Boozer every night.
The run of the scoring falls too much on him. That's
absolutely
the problem.
And I think we talked about this before, mm-hmm. where we go to Miami.
You can spread it out.
The trifecta.
What do they call them? The threedles?
The tripod. The threedles. Oh, my God. LeBron James has taken off. He said, you know what? The regular season didn't matter.
That's what he's saying. He's saying right now.
Because I'm the grown man.
Yeah, I'm about to put him on you.
Because, I mean, he's playing. So he's playing a finesse football on the basketball court. That's the best way I could explain this game.
They're more athletic and they're just younger. Okay.
That spin move that he hit on Rondo and two-hand jammed it, looked mm-hmm. like he almost broke the rim. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right, the man child.
And when they thought he got a charge, I mean, he hit Rondo so hard. I mean, dude, offseason 300 pounds.
Right.
So that's to just put it in perspective.
He plays 275, right. Have you ever seen 275 look like that?
Never.
I've never seen
never.
275.
I mean, because you look at Tony Gonzalez, a tight end, I mean, comparative body size, he's 6'5", but he only weighs like 230,
yeah,
240.
He don't look nothing like that.
That's a grown man out there. Like you said, Mama James, Daddy James.
Whatever y'all did.
Whatever y'all did. So they're talking about Shaq's comeback. Doesn't matter.
He's frat.
Say it.
And one. And one, baby.
Is it going to make a difference?
No. What is he going to do? Who does he neutralize?
Big presence.
Who's he going to neutralize?
But, I mean, they really don't have a big post game.
And? They didn't have it all year, right, with him?
No, I'm talking about Miami.
They don't need it.
Okay.
Because, see, you know what? You can hear Shaq's comment. He doesn't really care for Bosch. But you know what? Bosch can just say, hey, I can bring you out from up under the basket.
You don't have to care for Bosch because all Bosch is going to do is just kick it out to D-Wade or LeBron. Who cares?
Chalmers coming off the bench. Somebody that can score. I just don't think it's going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The Celtics are old, and they look old.
Right.
They look old.
Starting to look old.
Exactly.
I mean, Paul Pierce is dealing with some ailments.
Right.
I mean,
Rondo's back is hurting.
Allen hasn't hit a shot. The last game, you talk about living by a three, dying by a three, it's definitely evident. I think Doc Rivers is scratching his head right now. Like, man.
Yeah, I sure could use Austin.
Right, yeah.
But he's going to Duke, so.
Yeah, right. And talk about that, just dads, kids. Do you think he's making the right decision? Because, I mean, he has one of them games that we talk about. He has to play conventional basketball going to Duke.
Right.
He has a little Michael Jordan freedom in his game, and I saw him in a McDonald's All-American
game.
Yeah,
he balled.
He got a little freak to him.
Okay, but here's the deal. Jordan did, too, and whose system did he play in?
But Jordan's game was able to come out and overshadow that system in Dean Smith.
Yeah, but he scored only, what, 12
Jordan would still rock the rim.
Yeah, but he did that also as he moved and matured, because his first year, remember, he only averaged 12 points.
True.
12 points.
But he left as a sophomore, Dave. He
left as a sophomore and scored...
He had the game winning. That's the championship.
As a freshman.
On
him. That's what he said. The next year, he was on the UNC phone book. Money, baby.
Yeah, he had hair back then, so you know it was a long time ago. So I'm seeing coming out the East. Sorry, Chicago. You know I love you. Miami.
You ain't got the shot?
Miami. Going to win it.
Hey, mommy.
There it is. You know better. Miami.
Who's coming out of
this? I love the Lakers.
OKC going to win it. Watch.
You think?
I'm going with OKC.
I think the winner of the LA-Dallas
okay.
is going to come represent the West.
Fair enough.
But definitely out of the East, hands down, no one's stopping the threedles, as you call them right now. I mean, they're just that good.
Yeah.
But we're about to go to break. Coming up, we have Jay Graves.
Gotta have him.
From JayGravesReport.com talking about if you look good, you feel good. You know I got to ask. I got to play that devil's advocate on him real quick as we come back after the break. Planet Gridiron Sports on the Voice America Sports Network. Dave Lockhart, Damon Anderson. Be back in about 60 to 90.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andreas Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on that third segment with your host, Damian Anderson.
And as always, that me and Dave like to do, or Dave and I know all those English nuts out there trying to
you
break
and
down.
That's Stevie Wonder, baby.
Yeah, yeah. How to break it down. We always trying to bring the hotness from the street, and we're bringing the Midwest's own Jay Graves from thejgravesreport.com. Jay, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How they treating you this week?
They're doing it. It's starting to climb and get hot out here, but we keeping it real.
I mean, you know, we don't have no football yet, Jay, so, I mean, me and Dave just trying to find stuff to talk about, man.
But, you know, it's always something to talk about.
There it is. But, I mean, I got to ask you about what you think about them Bulls back home, man.
You know what? The Bulls look good, but I just will say that the Bulls about a year away.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Or are they Dwight Howard away?
Or Nene Hilario away?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I tell you what. If he has some help underneath the board,
there it
he'd
is.
Be all right.
Right.
What's his name? Carlos Boozer. I mean, I keep saying he's about soft as drugstore cotton candy.
He got that. You need to write a segment about called That Itis, when brothers get paid.
You get that contract.
That's right.
And they relax. That Itis.
That's right.
That Thanksgiving
That's
dinner.
Right.
But Jay, we got to talk about your latest blog, talking about if you look good, you play good. Explain.
Ooh, that's it, man. I've been saying that since I was a kid. When I started playing ball in Pop Warner, a couple of guys and I, we would always say, man, if you look good, you play good. You know, if you put your uniform on right, have everything on just sparkling, your pants extra tight, and your wristbands, everything right, having your shoes shining. I mean, it just takes your whole game to another level. Don't you agree?
Well,
you guys played ball.
Well, Deion Sanders certainly said that, and definitely Jerry Rice, from what he was meticulous, they said, in terms of when he got prepared and putting that uniform on. And you know what? If there's a correlation.
But guys, we're talking about dudes that are professional athletes. What about little Jim or little Leroy that play for the Municipal Cook County All-Stars, and then he wearing V-trons for cleats, Dave?
Hey, you can make.
Let me tell you. I grew up with a whole bunch of cats that didn't have any money.
Right.
We, one thing, it
you
didn't
freak
cost
them.
Anything to get
you
polished.
You learn how to freak them, don't you?
You learn how to freak her. Look, you get you some tape.
Spatting them.
Boys up.
Oh, yeah.
You use daddy electrical tape. Ain't nobody got that black shiny tape.
Nobody can spat them up like some black electrical tape.
Right. That ankle don't move, baby. That ankle is not moving.
It's like, don't try to turn a corner with that.
No, sir. You turn it at a 90-degree angle.
You blow your knee out too much, bro.
but on the real, it seems to be some correlation between that. You hear players say that a lot, that they look at themselves in the mirror, make sure they're ready to go, and they're shining before they step out there.
Absolutely.
But I think
that there's a time and place, though, Jay, because, you know, Dave has a little one, I have a little one. And, I mean, this dude, I mean, we'll go out to practice, and he'd be like, nah, Dad, I ain't feeling it right now because I don't have my right cleats on or these pants too baggy. I'm like, boy, you better get your ass up out. Make some tackles and stop worried about what your pants look like and your helmet color and mouthpiece. Make sure you got to have an Under Armour mouthpiece. Come on, man.
But you know what? It correlates from elementary school.
It does.
All the way through high school and on into college. And then after you get out of college, even if you're not playing football or basketball anymore, you know, like I talk about in the blog, if you look good, you play good. If you continue to take that same premise from sports and then take that on into corporate America, into your everyday life.
Yeah.
I sell pharmaceuticals for a living.
Okay.
So I have to wear a suit every day.
Sure.
And my attitude is that when I get up in the morning, I'm in the closet. I'm just saying, ooh, these boys can't handle me. Look at this. I'm ready for them today. Because I know that when I walk in the door, the game is no different than it is when you were playing sports. The game is played between the ears.
Okay.
You know, and so when you come in and you have an air about yourself, a confidence, a swagger about yourself, because you got up and you know you looking the part. You know, I always say, if you look the part, you become the part.
So, I got to ask you. So, I have this co-host, this close friend of mine, who is known to wear sweater vests.
Oh, yeah.
Tie. I mean, suited and booted all the time. So, you're saying it's more about his dress decor than his litigation abilities?
No. What I'm saying is, when he has all that litigation ability set, he's already ready with that. He's got that.
Okay.
Now, when you walk in, and like when I walk in to do what I do, when I walk in the door, because my confidence is so high based on the way I'm looking.
So is it confidence or is it swag? Is it swag or is it confidence?
It's both.
I think it's a combination of both.
It's the merging of two.
Yeah,
confidence swag.
It's just like when Deion was on the field. Deion had more talent than 90% of the folks on the field every time he showed up.
That's true.
However, because he was so confident in the way he was looking, he intimidated the guy across the ball from him when they lined up. Just by the way he was looking.
Just got that S-curl blinging. Got the tape and the gloves on. The way he got the little towel hanging down there. And you know he can lock you up physically. Say, it's over.
Just don't ask him to make a tackle, though.
He'll make one. It'll just be a soft tackle. It'll be a soft tackle.
He's going to trip him up.
You know what? Deion always said,
it's a business decision. He said, I made a business decision.
He didn't get paid to make tackles.
No, he said, I get paid to lock you down and cover you.
There
and that's
is.
What
he
I do.
That on a regular basis. I get paid to lock you down and cover you, and he did it.
Oh, no question.
So, man. Jay, we got to ask you, so what are the top four sports? We talk about sports.com. Who rocks the uniform the best? And let's just start with football. Who rocks the best football Ooh. Uniform right now?
Man, I would have to say Jerry Rice.
Mm. Yep.
Deion Sanders. I mean, back in the day. Now, a lot of these young guys now, they don't really take it to the level that we took it to when we were growing up.
They don't.
You know,
I agree.
These guys, I mean, they just go on the field with nothing on. With nothing on their arms, they just show up.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't know. Michael Vick looks like a gladiator in his uniform.
Oh, he went with the shield and all that. Yeah,
Mike Vick freaks his uniform.
You know who I'm going to throw out, a throwback guy who always looked good? Go back to college, too. Eric Dickerson always looked good.
You like that, bro?
I love that, boy. He was the one that had the eyeglass case before anybody did.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. And he had the bouncing curl out the back.
He had a neck roll.
He had a neck brace that sat back.
For what? It didn't do nothing.
Jay,
the neck roll did not do anything.
You can tell that this is a young buck.
No, this is a person that...
This is a young buck over there.
Intelligent person. Intelligent. Hey, I coach youth football. I had a kid show up to my team. He had a neck roll sitting in the middle of his back like Eric Dickerson did. I said, go sit by your daddy. Take that off. Dave, you know better. What point does that serve, bro?
It is all about the look, the swag, Eric.
There's no swag. I guess that had to be the Eric, because there's no swag about a neck roll.
You might not have liked
it. Sitting in the middle of your back.
See, by the time you came up, the neck roll was gone.
Right. That's what it is.
What are you talking about? I grew up in. I was a Walter Payton fan. Barry Sanders, Jim Browning had no neck roll. That's your favorite running back.
Those dudes came after though. All the ones that you're talking about,
Walter Payton,
you still can't. Yeah, well, he's before.
When I was a kid, we was wearing neck roll. The neck roll was heavy from about 75 to about 85.
He's right. It is, man.
Bro, I had an option to get a neck roll. I said, nah, bro.
That's right, because you're on that end where it's backing out, right.
My daddy said, hey, man, you want one of these? I said, nah, man, I'm good.
And no, I didn't wear one either. I didn't
Chris
wear one.
Chris Zolich had a neck roll. Centers had neck rolls. And defensive linemen had neck rolls. And
you need
backs.
To look at the entire body of work in terms of how
I'm
he
I'm just
looked.
Saying that the S-curl would have been more just stand out without the neck roll.
Dude,
man.
Know, ED made rec specs look good.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody wore rec specs.
I had rec specs. Right. I was ashamed to wear them before I saw him.
So you saw ED.
Now I tell you, the new era guys, Champ Bailey wears a uniform very nice.
He does kind of, yeah. His stuff is tight. Yeah. And it was tight even at Georgia. It was nice at Georgia.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would agree. Basketball, I'm gonna have to go with the Treadles, the Treadles.
Where they wearing it right
in
now?
In Miami, yeah. They swags right.
But see, you know what? The groundwork started with who? With the back Jordan. Jordan started that with the baggy shorts, and then he had the compression.
Jordan's shorts were not baggy, bro. They came to like right above his knee.
No,
I mean, because we're so used to Isaiah Thomas with nut huggers on.
You're right.
And John Stockton.
The penis prince. Right. We call him penis prince. The PPs. the print prince.
Yeah. You're just so used to that. You're like, God, no, man.
But Jordan, yeah, Jordan brought that swag in.
How do you have him? How do you have hemmed up? 2-inch gym shorts. So
I can't explain it. But he was the one that, you know, for me, they like look good in a basketball uniform. Okay.
And you know, another guy that we're forgetting about is Allen Iverson. When he used to wear
those were long shorts
thing on his arm.
Yeah. The neoprene sleeve.
Yeah.
He wore that, took the game to a whole nother level in terms of it's looking sweet in a uniform.
And to your point, Jay, I mean, look at the impact that Jordan had on the Fab Five.
Well, right. They said that they were. That's why they wanted to go with those kind of shorts with the comfort look.
And then they felt good, and that's how they played. They they freaked their uniform. They had black socks, black Nikes, and they got mad because Nike was making money off of them.
Right. They decided to turn the shirt inside out. They were so hostile.
Right. But Jay, I got to talk to you. I mean, it takes it off, and I don't know if this fad has hit out in the Midwest yet. I haven't seen much of it, but these skinny jeans on boys, bro.
You know what?
Because I ain't never been that talking about swag and confidence.
That ain't never done it for me neither. Yeah, dog. I can't go there.
How did you move?
They wearing them, but I'm telling you, that's the gimmick. That was what I'm talking about. You know, people that are wearing that outfit. That's the guy. When I talk about the real definition of swagger, and I talk about there's a certain amount of guys that are gimmicks.
Yep.
When you got that outfit on, you look like a gift.
You're trying too hard, Jay.
Yeah, you're trying too hard. I mean, that's just not it, bro. I mean, you're trying to look like something you saw on TV, but the guy on TV was famous, so he could get away with it.
you are not famous.
Right.
You work at you live in the crib and don't have a job.
And let's go back, baby. Ain't nobody here can wear what Prince was wearing, and he was rocking it back in the day when he was doing his thing.
Only thing I wanted with Prince is the hair, dog. That's all I wanted was just that.
Man.
That's all I wanted, man.
Everybody got troubles all around the neck and all that, man. I'm like, oh.
And the taco meat, it was like 4'11", made it happen, pulling the baddest.
The baddest. Okay,
yes.
The phase of Prince and all that, but you know, I can't wear that. And you can't even. Nobody in your right mind can wear that.
I mean, just like hammer pants. I would have never did that.
Oh, the hammer pants? No.
I mean, I had me a pair of Zubas. I ain't going to lie.
No, I had the...
I had Zubas. Dave, you had Zubas.
I had Skids. Same thing.
Yeah.
Skids. Same thing. You remember them, Jay? The Skids? They had, you know, they had the.
No, I'm talking about the Zubas.
I know which one. The multicolor.
I ain't wearing no pants out to like a club. You wore pants. You wore hammer pants out to the club.
No, though. I wore my skins like Harlem.
Coming back after the break. More Jay Graves from the JayGravesReport.com. Dave Lockhart, Damian Anderson, Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad, this stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Looking for a top show about horse racing and handicapping?
Looking to play the ponies?
Join us every week for Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies website, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for listening. Winning Ponies with Ed Meyer is live Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
And we're here to take you home. Planet Gridiron with your boy, Damian Anderson.
And we always have Jay Graves up when he drops knowledge for you. He just broke it down for when you look good, you feel good. But you also got another blog, Jay, that we are unable to get to last week, talking about Big Red Speaks, the owner's perspective. Explain.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Everybody, we've been talking a lot about this, you know, NFL lockout, and you know, everybody's blaming the players, the owners, everybody. So I wrote a blog called the NFL's Owner's Perspective. And Big Red, you remember Big Red from,
yep, Five Heartbeats.
And so I made the blog, and Big Red is now an NFL owner. And Big Red is saying, I'm not showing you my book. You know, my office hours are between 9 and 5. You know, if you want to see my book, we might have to hang you out the window again. But, you know, one of the things that people have to realize is the owners of these teams have all the leverage.
They do at the end of the day, because they do own the team.
They own the team, and you got to remember, bro, this team is their third or fourth stream of income.
Right.
And I mean, I break it down like this, Jay. Billions are forever. Millions you lose.
That's right.
No, you're right.
That's right.
You're absolutely right.
That's right. And see, what nobody's really checking out is these guys can literally sit tight, not do anything, lose $300 million this year if they don't play.
Write it off.
They'll be okay.
And write it off.
The players can't write it off. The players can't do anything. And then you ask yourself this question. That was, you know, if I have the information that the owners have, in the sense that, you remember in March of 2009, there was a Sports Illustrated article that said that 78% of NFL players within 2 years of retirement are going to file for bankruptcy because of joblessness, divorce, and financial stress.
And unemployed, yeah.
If I have that information, why am I going to sit down and negotiate with someone who could potentially be broke in 2 years?
I tend to believe like you do. Because I thought of myself, I said, okay, player, I put myself in that role, hypothetically, and owner. You know, you're not going to tell me how to run a business.
Because
my
it's
business.
What's right. It's doing what's right, though.
Well, you can do what's right within the realm of what I think is right. Okay? Right right, right only is determined by the person that's successful in the negotiations. That's what's right.
That's right.
Okay, the one who wins the negotiation.
Okay.
The person with all the money make all the decisions 90% of the time.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate. I want to see him play. I want to see him go out there, but you can't ask a guy that owns the business. I can't go to my company's owner and say I want to see the books.
Right.
Because I think I
but
can
if it's a
public,
but you can do, you can see that. I mean, they have antitrust laws that were that limit you from doing so. But if you went to Voice America or you went to any of these private or publicly traded companies, Jay, that you could get their financial information.
There isn't a law on the books that requires a privately owned company to show its books. To
every public,
that individual. If they were a publicly owned company,
yep.
then they
could No, not publicly owned. If it's publicly traded, if a publicly traded
publicly
company,
traded,
they have to
right.
show their balance sheet.
Sure.
They have to show the revenue.
But that's because of duties that it would have to a shareholder. It has to do something
Absolutely.
Along those lines.
Okay? Absolutely.
The problem in my I understand what the players are saying, but what they're trying to say is they're business partners. You're not. You're an employee of an employer.
That's right.
Of in a team. That's
right.
What you are. Okay. Now there's
got an option.
But when
you got an option to either play in the NFL or not.
Give, but when you share $9 billion in revenue, that is your partner.
No, you can say that
NFLPA is your partner.
Well, it's
because
no,
they have rights.
Well, you all don't exist anymore because you turned into a trade union.
Okay,
that's what you are now.
Okay, but in terms of court, they do have rights in terms of the trade union. I mean,
they do it from the standpoint of now you can pursue antitrust because no longer they say a collective bargain, which is all a bunch of BS because everything is
garbage.
Because everybody is falling back upon what? The collective bargaining agreement that just expired. Well, that's the one we want to put in play. But you know what? We're not a union, though. We're a trade group. This is a bunch of BS to me. Okay, now, I think that they should be able to figure out how to spend or divvy up $9 billion. It stands to reason that you should be able to do that. But I'm not going to start pointing the finger and faulting because I'm not in the room, and I don't have the answer either on how you divvy up $9 billion.
I'm just going to say it'd be advantageous for them to play this season.
Absolutely.
Because what they're going to do, they're going to lose the quality of the game in terms of the fans will be lost. And it's going to take a long period of time to recoup and restore that relationship that they have with the best game in the world right now.
You know what? They ain't going to have no problem with me. You can throw it. They can be gone for a whole year, throw the switch next year in 2012, and I'm going to be front and center watching. That's just me, and I got to admit, Jay, in my realm of my friends, and you're going to do the same thing, D.A., because tangentially, you're related anyway because why? You have a show. You're going to be involved, and so you're going to be up on everything, okay? Most of the people that run in my circles.
But what happened to baseball? Used to be the number one sport.
Totally, it never was in my mind. I never
baseball. But that's you. It. But you're a different segment, and it could affect a lot of people. Think about what happened to baseball. Why did it fall out of the favor of the fans?
Well, but the problem with baseball is it's too much wedded to its history. It has not learned how to evolve.
Why did it fall out of favor, though?
Well,
how has football evolved? I mean, think about it. They're scaling it down. All these rule limitations.
You make a great point, D.A., but what we're trying to say is this. As an owner, you got to think about how people think that have billions of dollars.
Right.
You know, people that think, like Jerry Jones is not thinking about whether I'm falling out of favor with the fans or not.
Jerry Jones makes money for the Cowboys to be playing. He makes more money with the Cowboys playing than he does with them being locked out.
But owning the Cowboys did not make him a billionaire. He already was.
Okay.
He already
I would agree
so
with
his,
that.
And keep this in mind. Let's keep this in mind. If I'm a guy that's an owner, and I got guys like, and there are multiple guys like this. You remember last year, right after the season was over for Antonio Cromartie?
Yeah.
He jumped out and started talking about how we need to get this thing together. Well,
he needed money.
Antonio Cromartie got seven kids by six different women, and he's the same guy that had to go back and get a loan for $500,000. From the Jets before he even played a down for him.
Right, he had a rear just.
Guys like that, if I got guys always in the red, I'm just going to sit back and act like the father will wait on the prodigal son to show up.
I would too. I told my wife that, and she's not much involved in that. I said, if I was an owner, I'd starve them out. Okay, we don't have to play.
Yeah.
I'd sit at the table across from them and say, who blinks first?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I agree with both of you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of the art of negotiating, I mean, they have the power, they have the reserve in order to do that. I mean, I understand that. But my point is, if you think long term, what's going to happen? the ramifications of this decision are going to be humongous when you try and transition back to a year without football.
I don't think so.
I do, man.
I don't.
But you know what? It will be forgotten.
Agree with you. I agree with you to some degree, D.A., but one thing you got to remember, I don't think it's going to even get that far.
Of course it's not.
Because I think that the players at some point are going to say, you know what, if you want us to play these extra two games and that's what all it's going to take, then we need to go ahead and play because we're going to lose a whole lot of money if we don't play.
And they're not going to even put that on the table. Because I think they threw that out.
I think they're going to play extra two games, buddy.
I don't think they're going to do
it. I think they're going to expand the roster, expand the practice squad, and
well,
play
you're certainly
going
to need to do that if you go 18 games. But the fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, the agreement that they hammer out is going to be way more advantageous toward an owner than it is toward a player.
I think what they're going to maybe in terms of profit sharing, it may be 60-40 or some 45, you know, whatever they do with the 45-55. Sure. But I think what it's going to do, it's going to address those long-term care. And I think that's what players don't understand. As you just mentioned, Jay, 78% of players 2 years out, unemployed, divorced, sure, and basically homeless.
You're not going to be able to change that part of it.
You can if you implement a transition program.
Not the things that are of what I would call a personal nature, but the things in terms of being able to put something in play so you will have something after retirement, which you do actually have right now.
I'm just
now
talking about long-term care.
Are you speaking in terms of like long term?
I'm talking about health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to definitely be.
I mean,
able
because
to
I mean,
that.
Dave, you and I will always talk about this. How many jobs do you go to if you stop working there? They continue to pay for your health care and give you money.
Right. Yeah.
I know one.
Right. Yeah.
The NFL.
That's right.
I mean, that's
right.
A pretty good business.
That's a good business to be a part of. It's no question. Is it? Its model is pretty good. Their retirement plan is pretty good if you take advantage of the programs they have in terms of matching your 401ks and things of that nature. I know because I've looked at a couple of buddies who have retired, and they are okay. The problem is, and fortunately for Damian, he doesn't necessarily have to deal with this, is transitioning from player to I can make it a living until I can get to my retirement.
Right.
That's
right.
The biggest problem for most of them. That's why they go broke.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword. The goal was always to make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But that's to the exclusion of acquiring other skills that allows you to be successful once you transition out.
But those players, I mean, it almost becomes self-identity issues because once you're out of the game, and myself can attest to this, that you lose your identity. I mean, you're always seen as a football player, the
sure.
star.
Right.
And then when you're not that, you lose that sense of ego, that confidence, that swag. So it's hard to make that transition because you don't necessarily understand how those skills translate into real world. And you necessarily don't want, you don't feel comfortable working a 9-to-5 and doing those.
Well, I'm going to defer to you on that, but it only makes sense what you're saying because you're dealing with individuals who are used to getting weekly checks, let's say, of 40 grand, okay? Well, then, a 20 grand, let's say that, a week. Now, let's go to a situation where you get maybe three times that for the entire year.
Right.
And you've built this lifestyle and this comfort level that you have that you become accustomed to.
Well, we're getting too deep. Well, we got to go. That's been the show. We got to thank Jay Graves from thejgravesreport.com, as always. Dave Lockhart for breaking it down. Jude LeCobber from Fox 10 Phoenix. Jay, we appreciate it as always, buddy.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Hey, be safe. Talk to you next week, bud.
Be safe. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
For Damian Anderson.
Dave Lockhart.
This has been Planet Gridiron Radio on the Voice America Sports Network. See you guys Friday. For all the mothers,
happy Mother's Day.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.